I thank the Lord for all the good messages already and the singing and your singing and the special music, instruments, and scripture there. I'm thinking with you on how God reaches out to us when we are by ourselves, spiritually or physically. He does have that ministry that He takes on, and I hope you take it on yourself today from the message. Back in the 1960s, there was a musical group that was real popular, and I kind of grew up listening to their songs, tons of songs. I probably could sing them word for word for you today, and when I do that at home, my children run out of the room in great anguish. The musical group is the Beatles. They had 27 number one songs in a matter of 8 years. That's pretty incredible. They did not sing as well as some of you all, and as well as Daryl sang there. But we say they sang so many songs and were real popular at the time. One of the more thoughtful songs that they sang was a song called Eleanor Rigby. Eleanor Rigby was about a person who lived a very isolated life, not many significant relationships. And some of the words of the song went like this: Eleanor Rigby died in the church, was buried alone with her name. And we don't know what kind of relationship this character had with the church. Didn't do her any good. And even the Beatles, you know, secular as they were, recognized you could be in a church, be alone, die alone, no one comes to your funeral. And that was a grief thing for them. They also sang about Father McKenzie. He was a clergyman. He wasn't much better off than Eleanor Rigby. And the chorus of the song went like this: all the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? And it was a cry from the heart, I think, of people, the writers of the song, those who listened to it, and those who sang it. And if you'd go outside the church today and take a survey, or inside the church and say, what's one of the most common trials you face as a person that kind of hits you in the gut and has you feeling not so well? The answer to that survey or that question time and time again comes up: loneliness, or feeling isolated. Loneliness is a feeling that you lack significant relationships. Friends are too few and far between. And that hit every one of us at one time or another. In our country, 40% of all people feel like they're a little bit outside of healthy fellowship times. 40%, that's kind of high. And 1 in 5 people actually say they don't feel like they have any friends that they could significantly share with any problems or trials they're going with. Okay, that's pretty high, 1 in 5. Friendships are a gift from God, and it's a gift that's all too rare for us. And belonging and closeness is a part of His will for our life. If you woke up some morning and said, I wonder what God wants me to do with my life. You know, how can I serve Him well? If you just targeted the problem of loneliness, said, I'm going to reach out to people who are struggling with that, you would be busy from sun up to sundown, reaching out to folks who feel isolated. No matter what age group, it's common to all age groups. And it's something you could probably identify with. The first recorded message in the Bible, one of the first ones, where God speaks to people, He says this: hey, it's not good for the man to be alone. It's not good. And that's true for us today. King David was close to the Lord, and close to his family, and close to the whole kingdom. But there were times he felt very alone and very isolated. He prays in Psalm 25. His heart cries out. He says, turn to me, Lord, for I'm lonely and afflicted. That's a painful thing. Psalm 102, we don't know who prayed that one, but maybe we could identify it. He says he feels like a bird alone on a roof. And I haven't noticed too many birds alone on the roof. Usually if they are, they're singing a song all by themselves, you know. Not with a flock. It's a painful thing, isolated thing. Billy Graham has used the phrase a lot of times in his preaching and teaching, the phrase cosmic loneliness. And he says that's a loneliness of the heart we feel because of sin in this world. That because there's sin, we don't know how to be close to God or close to people. We fumble that up, flub it up. And sin builds walls between the Lord and ourself, and walls between us and other people. And those walls are hard to come down. Only God can bring them down. And Billy Graham went on to say, talking to, where our hearts are with God, he said, the loneliest experience of all is when we sin. How separated we feel from God. And when we sin, all of a sudden, every relationship we have is all out of sorts. And it's broken and messed up. And he used the example, if you went out and robbed a bank and you were caught, they'd take you to jail and say, well, you got one phone call to make, and most people think, who am I going to call? Who will come and be with me now that I've robbed this bank? I call my friend and say, I'm not coming down there. You know, guilt by association. Some of your family would say, nope, you did it. You did the crime, you pay the time. Most people call a lawyer. Lawyer, he's obligated to come. May not have a heart for you, but he's obligated to come. They hopefully get a heart for you. And the Lord wants us to know that if we feel alone because of sin in our life, we just have rebelled against God, His Holy Spirit says, what are you going to do? We call on somebody who will be our defense attorney. And that's Jesus. He gladly takes on that role in the Bible. If anybody does sin, we have somebody who'll speak to the Father in our defense. He'll ask for our acquittal. Say, I love this one. This one belongs to me. I'll pay the penalty so he or she could be close. So if there's loneliness in your heart because of sin, and it hurts bad, you sense it. The Holy Spirit points it out. You could say, I'm guilty. I need Jesus to be my advocate. He'll speak to the Father in your defense. And He'll help. At the loneliest place of who you are, you could have peace with God. What a gift. Well, how can God speak to us when we see loneliness around us, or a loneliness in our own soul? A couple things we should know. Loneliness is different from solitude. Solitude's very refreshing. If you went out this afternoon and took a walk in the woods, take a breath of fresh air, boy, this is great. Get away from the hustle and bustle. You know, you'd come back refreshed, rejuvenated, enjoyable time. If your family took you in a car, drove past those woods, you had a big argument, they opened the door, says, out of the car! Get in those woods over there. All of a sudden, what was solitude and enjoyable now becomes despair. Despair. Nobody wants me around. I'm here isolated. And that's the difference between loneliness and solitude. Feeling left out, feeling like you don't fit in. It's an unpleasant experience. Paul Tarnier was a Christian counselor. He wrote a book called Escape from Loneliness. And he said there's a couple causes for loneliness in our contemporary world. He said one cause is that we all look at life as a rat race. And in the rat race, you have to run real fast to get ahead of everybody else. And when you do, you'll find yourself alone because the rest of the rats will be behind you. I ran in track and field to high school and college, you know, and had a little bit of fun at that. And I noticed that before the race, everybody was, hello, how are you? And how are you? And everything cool. And once that gun was fired, down we go. We weren't stopping to have fellowship. We were flying. And whoever won the race, all of a sudden you turn around and, where'd all my friends go? Here you are getting your award, and everybody's not with you anymore. And so to see life as a fast-paced thing is going to hurt. And getting to the top doesn't validate or take away the loneliness. Sometimes it just increases it. Another cause of loneliness is the feeling or the lie that we're absolutely self-sufficient and self-reliant. We could do it. We learned that from age 2. I can do this myself. But that's a lie. This morning, we can't breathe on our own. God gives us the breath of life. Our hearts don't beat on their own. He sustains us. We didn't create ourselves. God created us. And spiritually speaking, Jesus said, apart from Him, we can't do anything. We can't walk with God or be helpful to anybody else unless He's helping us. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. So He lets us know that we're not self-sufficient. We're connected to Him and to each other. And the third thing that often creates loneliness is demanding our own rights. Wanting to be first or wanting to be correct all the time. God's Word tells us there's a way that seems right to us, but in the end, it will lead to a dead-end street. It leads to death. And it's we become foolish when we become wise in our own eyes, as Solomon said. We need God's help and a turning to Him and a leaning upon one another will give us grace. What are some cures for loneliness? If you see loneliness in a person near you or you sense it in your own soul, that's a signal from the Lord. The first thing we could do is see God's hand in our loneliness. We're lonely for a reason. And usually it's a spiritual reason. And loneliness is not sin. But sometimes sin got us, if that's a continual lifestyle. See God's hand in our loneliness. In Matthew chapter 4, God's Word says, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert. A desert is a place there was not much provision, not much friendship or fellowship, a place of deprivation. What Jesus normally counted upon was not there. And sometimes when you're lonely, you'll sense, it's not here for me. My friends, my family, my health. And the Lord, when Jesus was in the desert, He only had one to rely on, and that was the Father. That was God Himself. And sometimes loneliness in our soul is an opportunity to say, okay, I realize that I can turn to God. He will not leave me or forsake me. I can find a friend in Him. And it's a cry of your heart for closeness with God. That can happen as we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. He says He'll never leave us or forsake us. So in loneliness, see God's hand there for you, working in your heart. Second thing, seek God's face in your loneliness. Oh Lord, I feel like I need You. I feel like I need to reach out to other people as a call in my life. Not because there's a desperate sense, but out of health. I know most people who come to Christ and receive Him do so because they feel apart from God. They feel lonely. So I want Jesus to be in my heart because I don't want to be away from Him anymore. And God may be speaking to somebody here this morning. If you leave here without Christ, you're going to be lonely. Doesn't matter if you have 100 friends, the most popular kid in school or at work or whatever. Without Christ, there's a loneliness in your soul. He'd knock on the door of your heart, not pass you by. You open the door, He'll be with you. In my life as a Christian, when I'm lonely, if I feel a loneliness, it's a signal for me to turn to God and start reaching out to people. It's not God's will that we remain in isolation. You might have a job where you work with people a lot. But still, if it's not significant relationships happening, there'll be an aloneness there. And God wants to bring you out of that. Billy Graham says when he's lonely, he does three things. Real practical. He says he prays because he could always talk to God. Remember, you and I always have someone to talk to. That's the Lord. Number two, he reads the Bible because there's someone who's always willing to speak with him. And that's Christ through His Word. And number three, he begins to serve others. And in serving, he gains strength and fellowship by being a servant. People who are 18 to 24 have the highest degree of loneliness because relationships are all usually up in the air during that age time. And I remember going off to college and feeling, didn't know a soul. One of the things I did in a very clumsy way, I volunteered to work at a daycare center with 4- and 5-year-olders. And I hadn't been around 4- and 5-year-olders since I was 4 and 5. And I wasn't much good, but just helping out in a little way was an act of service. And when I was doing that, I wasn't thinking of being lonely. I was thinking of getting back to some solitude, as a matter of fact. But serving helps loneliness. Seek the Lord and seek to serve. Number four, when you feel loneliness or see it, this is a tough one here. Forsake the idols of privacy, convenience, and an agnosticism toward people. Speak to each one of them. Privacy is something we think is very valuable in our culture. If I said, I'm going to give you a job, let you live in a neighborhood, maybe even give you a church, it'll give you a lot of privacy. Say, sign me up. Next thing you know, no friends. Nobody's talking to you. We got what we asked for, and it wasn't healthy. Our culture, in a negative way, values privacy over relationships. And that's a huge mistake. God knows we need our space, but He knows we need Him. And we would be connected to each other more. Forsake the idol of privacy. Forsake the idol of convenience. Convenience is terrific because it helps our lives go more rapidly. So rapidly we will miss each other. And there was a time in my life where I would not go through a drive-thru at a bank or at a McDonald's because I wanted to talk to a person, not a person in the speaker that I can't understand much of the time. Those days are gone since I'm flying through life. But convenience doesn't help relationships. We don't see people. We don't talk to people. Emails have helped in the speed of communication. They have not increased family health. I've not gained 8 or 9 more friends since the email has been invented. Chat rooms have not brought people together. They have not reduced the suicide rate among teenagers. If we are relying on efficiency and technology to help the heart, we better help the heart first and then use the technology for that. Convenience is an idol to be forsaken when it crowds out fellowship. Third, agnosticism toward people. Agnosticism says, I simply don't know. I don't know if there's a God or not. Toward people is, I simply don't know whether I'm supposed to be close to other people. I'll toss a coin. I'll be committed to not being committed about that. And so we continue our lives not being sure that we're really supposed to be involved with each other. And we remain outside of friendship and fellowship. The Lord can deliver us from that. He gives us Himself and people as a gift to the loneliness problem. And the Lord meets us where we're at on this one. See, the people around you this morning are really God's solution to the problem of loneliness. You may have not have thought of them that way, but that's true. The church is a part of God's solution for loneliness. If I were to tell you, boy, I'd like to let you join a group where people will pray for you, and you could pray for them. People will love you, and you could love them back. When David Cain spoke last week, I don't know if you caught it, he said, I met the Lord, and He gave me a church to love. He was talking about the people. You know, just opportunities to share Christ. If you're a believer, God has ordained you to togetherness with other believers. That's an ordination that comes hard and that we often avoid. But that's part of God's will for us. You'd be a part of a group of people you'll spend forever with. One of the reasons young people from 16 to 20 join gangs, they want to belong. They want to feel a part of something. Give me that jacket. Give me that knife. Give me that drug so I can feel a part of a group. God said, you could feel a part of me, Jesus says. And a part of my children. What a gift. One of the greatest promises God gives in Psalm 68. He says, He will set the lonely in families. Could you take that promise for yourself? this morning? Would you say like every other person who's ever lived? Yeah, I feel lonely sometimes. Lord, you said you would set me in a family. I'm ready. In the family, you'll serve, you'll love, you'll serve, be served, and you'll love also. Think of the lonely people Jesus reached out to in his ministry. I picked 10 quick ones for us to say, I know God would reach out to me like that or somebody else. Shepherds, lonely job. First good news came to them, shepherds. A paralyzed man. How many friends do people stuck in wheelchairs have? Demon-possessed. I don't want to be around demon-possessed. Jesus will. He'll send some of us. A woman at the well. Five husbands. Six. Don't know if that one will work out. Jesus comes to the lonely. Lepers. Everybody runs from the lepers. Jesus moves toward them. Woman caught in adultery. Jesus speaks and offers friendship. A soldier's family, Roman centurion. Soldiers have an isolated existence from what they're used to going through. Jesus helped the centurion. Tax collector, blind person, rich young ruler. If you have some wealth in your life, who can you trust? You can trust Christ. See, he'll love you where you're at. Jesus would do that for you if you're lonely. Could you let him set you in a family, a Christian family, just the people around you? They're not perfect, but you have a perfect leader who is Christ. And then commit yourself to reaching out to others. Be a friend. If you're lonely, be a friend to gain a friend. Because you have a call in your life to the lonely. And I mentioned this at the first service. At the judgment day, and we don't know the particulars of this application, but we do know it happens. At the judgment day, Jesus will say this to somebody. He will say, I was a stranger. You welcomed me in. He'll say that to the sheep. And they'll say, what? And I don't remember you being a stranger and us welcoming you in. Jesus said, well, when you did it to the least one, you did it for me. And then that ministry of loneliness, so important. There will be a message given to another group of people, the goats. Jesus said, I was a stranger, essentially feeling alone, and you didn't welcome me in. He says, well, I don't remember that. What are you talking about? When you didn't do it to the least one. You really didn't do it to me. That God's calling our life to go and help people where they're at. And really, and how we follow through in that is an indication of our eternal destiny. And so, as you hear the call of God in your life, to be one, to minister to the lonely, go with the friendship of Christ. What a great friend he is to you. And how you can be that way for other folk. You'll be never a dull moment and an opportunity to be a blessing every day. Might God speak to each one of us as we seek to draw close to him this morning. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, many times we see ourselves in the Scripture. We're like David praying. He's lonely and afflicted. He talks about his sin, Father. We do with you this morning. We feel like the shepherds sometimes. We feel like the woman at the well. Feel like the blind one. And would you come and never leave us or forsake us? Who else could give such a promise and follow through with it? We know you will. And then, Father, give us a mission. Might we be on a mission to lonely people this morning? We could pray. We could speak. We could build a small bridge and be be a vessel of your grace. We hear that call in our lives, Father. It doesn't take a lot of skill. It takes an open heart. So bless each one, Father, here. And send us to do ministry in your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As God has met with us this morning, if you'd like prayer concerning a difficulty or opportunity, you're welcome to come and pray here in the front as we sing together, the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Still learning all the blessings that are involved in that and all the responsibilities that are involved with that. That's not something to be afraid of, something to rejoice in. Let's stand as we sing to the Lord.